Ballpark Beef is back, baby. We were off a week, but we're here and we're live, baby. Cardinals suck. Yankees are good. Mets are turning it around. So let's talk about it. Run that music.
Ballpark Beef fans, welcome back to another episode. How we doing? We had to take a week off. We had to celebrate my wedding. It was a great time. I know the boys had an awesome time. But we're back. We're back for good now. We're back until around the May, June time. And that's when things will start heating up for other things. But right now, we're back for the next month or so. So you have our full undivided content creating attention. Okay?
If you guys haven't noticed, we're back.
We're back. We're fucking back, man. But yeah.
We love coming back.
We love coming back. Yeah, for sure. But boys, how was your week? I know that's probably a dumb question, but how was your past week and how you doing?
Hey, man, the wedding was absolutely beautiful. So, and I'm very proud of you for that because I was not expecting it to be that good.
Thank you.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, it was probably just a little bit worse than your week, you know, in all honesty.
But yeah, Nick, I got to shout out Nick. Nick made an incredible best man speech. Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I was not expecting this. The speech was great. I'm proud of you, man. I told him that multiple times. It was very good. And, you know, if you just spoke like that in this podcast, I'd be even more proud of you.
Well, I got two things to say about that speech. One, it was not happening without my man Jimmy letting me practice with him multiple times. And two, alcohol just does wonders.
So essentially, you need to be drunk to do good on this podcast.
I just need to have my mind clear.
All right. So before each podcast, you need to take two Ciroc apple shooters. All right.
I mean, if you're providing them, then yeah.
Sure.
I'm in.
Sure. If that raises the level of this podcast, sure.
Yeah, nah, but I really want to give Jimmy a shout out. He helped me all the way. And I'm pretty sure it was like a half hour before it was time to go. I went outside with him and rehearsed it with him. That's how nervous.
You really?
I don't even know if Jonathan knows that.
No, I didn't. I was just so like around everything and just like non-focused on anything.
So when we all went back downstairs, right before we walked out and did our entrance, I looked at Jimmy and I go, Jimmy, we got to go outside real quick. I need to practice this one more time.
Did great. I'll tell you that. You did great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure did.
All right. But let's get to some baseball.
Well, let's keep the good news going and talk about the Mets.
Let's talk about the Mets, man. Because our last episode, we were kind of super down on the Mets. You know, they had a little hot streak when we left off. Shit, I can't speak today. But and they've continued that hot streak. The Mets are I think 8-10 in their last 8-2 in their last 10 games. I could be wrong.
How about we let the Mets fan talk about the Mets?
Well, I'm gonna start him off.
No. He don't need help. Only I need help.
I'm gonna start him off.
Turn me up, Turbo. Go ahead.
I'm gonna turn him up, and then he's gonna be all fired up, and he's just gonna bam, bam, bam. You know what I mean?
So like, stats this, stats that.
Correction: the Mets are 7-3 in their last 10. They are over 500. Their run differential is a plus. So that's a good thing. That means the offense is doing well. That means the pitching's also doing well. So I'm going to bring in the all things Mets guy, and he's going to break down what's working for the Mets and why they're so hot right now. So Jimmy, just take it away, man. The floor is yours. Take your time. All you, man. Enjoy.
What a red carpet. The Mets are exciting, man. They got their first win of the season very late into the season. You know, stumbled through that series. Then they got into Cincinnati, Atlanta, Kansas City, and Pittsburgh, and won all those series. They got to LA, won that series. They've lost two in a row on their West Coast trip between LA and San Francisco, but it's still early. They still got a couple more games against San Francisco, and then we got the big bad Cardinals coming into town over the weekend. Things are good. Yeah, I think what's working for us, the role players are really doing a good job. So the Tyrone Taylors and the, you know, Harrison Baders, they're holding their weight. While Lindor is struggling, but he's since broken out of his struggles. It's been so long since we've talked. Lindor has gone ice cold and then gotten red hot again. Pete Alonso just continues to mash homers, and the lineup is producing. What really is the difference maker, though, is the pitching. Pitching's been really, really good lately. I think aside from Adrian Hauser, the other four starters have been lights out. And I think we have one of the best bullpens in baseball. I'm trying to remember his name. Reed Garrett, I think, is his name for the bullpen. Somebody correct me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Reed Garrett, just an absolute revelation. He had all the stuff. He had good stuff last year. He just needed to use it in the right situations. And he's since decreased his usage of fastballs and increased his usage of cutters and sinkers. And it's been the recipe for success. He leads the majors as far as the bullpen goes in strikeouts. He absolutely shoves no earned runs, like a 0.4 FIP expected, you know, his expected fielding independent pitching. Stud. Mets pitching is looking really good, defying what we thought come the preseason, right? Like, we all thought that, you know, the Mets pitching would be an ain't shit rotation or an ain't shit bullpen. Been showing otherwise. If they can continue doing that, the hitting is going to come around, and this is a quality ball club. Look out.
We have five pitchers coming out of the bullpen under with an ERA under two.
Yeah, it's gross. Drew Smith, really good. Edwin Diaz, looking like himself, although his velocity is down a little bit. I don't know if anybody wants to talk about that, but probably a little injured, you know, maybe, you know, still recovering from that knee. Who else we got? Reed Garrett is up there, I'm sure. Brooks Raley just got hurt. He was probably up there, too, as far as the top five.
Those were the five.
There you go. I'm not even looking at stats right now. That's what's crazy.
And all of them with 10-plus strikeouts, except Raley with nine.
Okay.
That's why he's the stat guy.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, man. I mean,
yeah,
I didn't see this coming from the bullpen.
No. Reed Garrett's a true setup man, has emerged with some really good stuff, and I think is a difference maker. If he's there, you know, guys like Ottavino moves up, guys like Brooks Raley move up, and you know, if they're moving up to the fifth, sixth inning, then we have a pretty deep bullpen.
I mean, shit, even Jorge Lopez.
Yeah, he's been good, too.
Another one under two. Under the two ERA.
Yep. Good middle reliever right there.
Shows you guys that once the Mets get a lead and they bring it to the bullpen, it's almost a lock.
Yeah. Two bad things, or one bad thing, one good thing. Francisco Alvarez, torn ligament, out for 2 months. Kind of sucks. Just awkward landing as he was coming around first base. Really just like hyperextended that thumb. But he should be back this year. He should be back strong. Unfortunately, he won't get the MVP votes that I thought he would because of his missed time, but stud when he's on the field, and I'll stand by that. And the other piece of good news, JD Martinez is still coming to bolster this lineup. That could be an X factor for this lineup. That really deepens it, strengthens it, and kind of, you know, takes some of the pressure off Pete Alonso to hit homers. So, very excited.
Yeah, I mean, Mets turned it around in just 2 weeks. Shows how quick they could do it. Want to talk about your Yankees, Jonathan?
I figured you'd just talk about your Cardinals because you took it from there. But sure, I'll talk about my Yankees.
They suck, so I really don't want to talk about them.
All right, so we'll talk about the Yankees. So the Yankees have started off hot, as we all know. They've been struggling a little bit. 5-5 in their last 10. And the lineup's just been struggling. Everyone but Soto has kind of struggled the last 10 games, maybe. Volpe was moved up to leadoff spot, and he's been struggling. I don't know if that's the cause of his struggles. He's pressing because he's leadoff man. Judge is struggling. This is a topic I do want to talk about. Kind of, when do the alarms go off? When do we say, okay, what's going on with Judge? Because historically, Judge never gets off to a start like this. Judge is easily a 280, 300 batter every single year. He's never had a historically bad start like this. So I kind of want to talk about that maybe in a little bit, right after I go over a quick recap of what could be, is, should we be alarmed or not, you know? But Stanton's hitting well, which is great. I mean, it's not like league average well, but it's better than last year. I mean, he has some big hits and some big spots. I mean, the rest of the lineup is kind of struggling besides Soto. I mean, besides Soto, Volpe, and Cabrera, the rest of the guys are under a 240 batting average. So, I mean, it's been hits here and there, but besides that, it's been a struggle. As far as pitching, the pitching has been very, very good. Our starting rotation is very good without Cole. Most of our guys are going deep into games. Nestor is not, in fact, a bust, as Jimmy has, you know, called upon multiple times. Nestor Cortez is not a bust, guys. Okay. He's a very good pitcher, and he has shown that the past few starts.
Carlos Rodon finally has found something, which is great to see. Marcus Stroman is a good vet. You know, he's held up his end. He pitched a decent game tonight. I know it's against the Athletics, but the Athletics aren't bad this year. They're 9-14. They're not one of the bottom feeders this year. They have a good young team. Clark Schmidt's pitched well. Luis Hill, probably the most exciting guy in our rotation. He throws complete ched, and he's young. He's coming off a Tommy John, but he's looked really good. He's probably has the most electric stuff outside of Cole in the rotation. So it's really good to see him do well. But yeah, I mean, the Yankees are being the Yankees. They're 15-8. They're beating the A's right now. It is a close game, but they have struggled recently. I'm not alarmed, but you know, teams go through their up and down. Look at the Mets. They started off, Mets fans were in arms. They're like, the season's over. Sell everybody. Look at the Mets now. They're 12-10. They're hitting well. They're pitching well. Teams go through this. Jimmy explained this. They go through these ups and downs. Some teams have longer ups and downs, and that's why they end, you know, they end at the bottom of the standings. Other teams, they have short spurts, you know, maybe five games, struggle. Fine, get back to it. But that's what happens with good teams. They recover and you know, they hit, they pitch well. But no complaints besides that. I got nothing else to say besides that weird ejection yesterday from Boone. That might have been the craziest ejection ever. If you guys didn't see it, Boone literally said nothing, and it was a fan behind him. And the umpire ejected Boone. In an explanation later that day, the umpire said he heard something from the Yankees dugout, which warranted the ejection of Boone because it's Boone's team. But I think that's complete bullshit. But whatever, it happened. It's over. So yeah, that's my quick Yankees recap. Nick, I know you don't have much to say, but is there any silver linings for this Cardinals team?
Man, I could just say for the 2024 Cardinals, Mason Wynn, he's the guy. He is the guy. So the Cardinals are, what are they? 10-13, last in their division. The offense is off to a really slow start. Nothing that I, you know, saw coming. But like you say, every team has their ups and downs. And we're kind of like the Mets, except we're one of those teams where it's lasting longer. Goldschmidt's off to a bad start. Nolan Arenado, he's not off to a terrible start, but he's only hitting for average. Half our team, their WAR is just negative. They're very good defensively, but they're just not making, they're not winning close games, and they're not, you know, moving runners over and trying to score runs. But out of everyone on this team, I mean, Mason Wynn's batting 323 with an 824 OPS, almost has a one WAR, even with this shitty record. They can't get it done when it comes down to the last innings. I was watching the game last night, you know, what you guys were saying 2 weeks ago, where all it takes is, you know, kind of like a spark. And yesterday, the Cardinals get a walk-off home runs. And I'm like, oh, maybe this might be a start. Turn on the game today, and they're down 10 to the Diamondbacks. So it's looking like it's going to be another up-and-down year. As of now, hopefully the offense turns it around. Pitching's not terrible. We thought their pitching would be absolutely horrible, and they have a sub-3 ERA. Starters are giving them chances to win. And then some games the bullpen's blowing it. Some games the hitters just can't get those one or two more runs. But, I mean, the 10-13, not super pressed. They're not, you know, totally out of it. It's almost the end of April and they're only 4.5 out rather than 10 like some other teams. So, yeah, I mean, it's not the start we wanted, but it's going to be a long season.
Sure is a long season. You know what's crazy? Mason Wynn, guess what he leads the Cardinals in? Nick's favorite stat, batting average. Nick loves a 300 slap hitter. If Jeff McNeil was a 320 hitter every year, Nick would love him. He'd be Nick's favorite player on the Mets.
I'm a fan of keeping the chain going.
Keep the chain moving.
Move the runners over, do your job, and you will succeed.
Keep it moving, huh?
Keep it pushing, that's it.
Keep it pushing.
Let's put it this way. The more you keep the lineup moving, the more times the batters are going to get up to play.
Get your big boppers their opportunity?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Would you rather have your lineup all bat four times in one game, or would you rather have the top four batters bat five and the rest bat four?
The second one.
Yeah. That's what I like.
Yeah.
So keep the line moving. Keep the top
batters.
And yeah, top batters
hit for average, and I'm a happy Nick.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they're getting runs with it. But if not, then at least they're doing something productive.
No, I mean, it's, how's the pitching for the Cardinals? Tell us a bit about the pitching. What are we looking at there on the grandpa retirement home?
Well, the oldest guy on our roster is actually one of our best, besides Sonny Gray's first two starts. Lance Lynn, 25.2 innings, 5 games started, has a 2.81 ERA. I saw that number being somewhere in the mid-fours. Miles Michaelis with a 6.5 ERA. Kyle Gibson, 5.04. Steven Matz, he had a 3.6 going into today. I think he gave up 7. And then he got Sonny Gray, 17 innings, 1.04. So
Sonny boy.
The bullpen's pretty good. The whole bullpen, they have 2 guys over a 5. Everyone else is around 2, 3. It's nothing like the Mets or the Yankees, you know, where you got all these strikeout pitchers and everything. But I don't really think it's the pitching fault right now. We kind of knew they were going to give up somewhere between 4 and 6 runs a game. But if the offense can't score more than 3, our pitching's definitely not going to win us games.
You ain't wrong there.
Nope. I guess you're never wrong.
All right. So let's go into Aaron Judge, guys.
Yeah, let's go into that segment because I heard something crazy this week and I want to ask your opinions. But you can go first.
The whole thing around town is, when do you start getting worried about Aaron Judge's start, right? Because historically, he's never started this bad. Currently, Judge is hitting 180 as of his most recent at-bats. His OPS is a 640. He has 3 home runs. And it just hasn't looked like Aaron Judge. Whether he's pressing because Soto's ahead of him, whether he's still dealing with that injury, or mechanics are off. When is the time to worry? I wouldn't say I'm worried right now, but I'm concerned.
You have to get 31 strikeouts, by the way.
31 strikeouts, exactly. 31 strikeouts and 86 at-bats. So that's more than a third right now of his at-bats he's striking out.
It's just under a third?
Just under a third, yeah. So, there's concern. I have concern. I'm not fully like, holy shit, Judge is regressing and it's the end of the world. But there's definitely something wrong with Judge. He's not normal. He's not where he should be. And I mean, it's great that the Yankees are still succeeding, but we're going to need Judge. And I'm not fully sounding alarms, but I'm like 40% sounding in the alarm.
Ready to set them.
That Judge is, something's fucked here.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a start that we're used to. He's definitely striking out a lot. To me, that kind of seems like he's putting a lot of pressure on himself to put the ball in play. He has to be going away from something that he's been doing the last few years.
Yeah, I mean,
I think Judge's problem is he's chasing a lot. No, that means he's good at chasing. Never mind. He's not chasing a lot. So his average exit velo is high. His barrel percentage is high. His hard hit percentage is high. And he doesn't chase a lot. He's walking a ton. He's not whiffing a lot. So he's just hitting it where they are.
Bad luck at this point?
I think he's hitting it at people.
Yeah, but he also has 31 strikeouts. So how does that explain the strikeouts?
Yeah, he strikes out a bunch. He just doesn't chase.
When he makes contact, it's hard. But it seems right now he's not making contact a lot at all.
I mean, his barrel percentage is... His chase rate is the 84th percentile. Like, he has a good chase rate. Mm-hmm. It's just his K percentage is down. So it's like, it's weird. Like, you would think those two numbers would coincide with each other. Chase rate and K rate.
He must be getting beat. Maybe a tad late or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, or he's hitting it at people. He's hitting it at people where they are. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's now, with this topic... I heard a Yankee fan earlier this week say that with the start that Judge is having, this team is now Juan Soto's.
No.
And I'm like, how do you say that? Like, he's literally the captain. And they're like, oh, well, with the start he's having, they should take it away.
Who was that? Who was that? That, do they
it
have...
It was like the worst take I've ever heard.
Do they have a Soto Chambers in Yankee Stadium? who's the captain? Who wears the C on his jersey?
That's what I'm saying. Like, even though he's having the worst start, that, like, if that's how you're going to value your best player, then God forbid, like, they should never have a bad start in their eyes. Like, see, it's baseball. You're never going to have the best time of your life all the time.
See, old me would be like your cousin. Oh, fuck Judge. He sucks. Get him off the team. He's bat 180. New me, new improved me. Who cares? Like, the dude's struggling. He's going to figure it out. It's Aaron fucking Judge. He's an MVP candidate. He's the AL home run king. Like, he's going to figure it out. He's not a bum. He's not a one-hit wonder. You know, like, if he was a one-hit wonder and he's struggling, I can understand. All right, fuck the guy. He's a shitter. There's a reason he has a section in Yankee Stadium. There's a reason he won MVP. There's a reason he's the captain of New York Yankees. There's like, just relax. Give him some time. Maybe he's still dealing with that core injury. You know, your core is a big part of swinging a baseball bat. A huge part. Probably one of the biggest parts. Your core is what generates all your power, what generates your swing, your swing speed, like everything. Your core is very important in baseball. Maybe he's still dealing with that. Have you guys ever thought of that? That's why I'm not as concerned. But there's Yankee fans. They were booing him the other day. Fucking booing your captain.
20 games in.
20 games in booing him. Like, Yankee fans, come on, guys. You got to get it together. It's fucking Aaron Judge. If it's Stanton, boom. The dude hit 160 all year last year. Please boo him. There's two people you should never boo in a three people in a Yankee uniform. Four. Sorry. Anthony Volpe. Garrett Cole.
Jesus.
Aaron Judge. And I swear to God, if I ever hear you, any of you, boo Juan Soto, I'm throwing you over Yankee Stadium, okay? Juan Soto must never be booed, okay? But yeah,
there's a difference between having, like, saying that this is Juan Soto's team and saying that Juan Soto's the best player in the Yankees right now, because he is. Juan Soto is right now the best player on the Yankees.
But Juan Soto would be the best player on many teams.
Yes,
and probably all the teams.
Just because he comes over to your team and is off to one of the hottest starts anyone is probably having this year, you can't just automatically be like, okay, this guy is our new, like, star on our team.
Well, he is the star. You know what I'm saying?
Like, he's not the face of your team.
No, he's not the face of the...
He's just the best player on your team.
All right, well, okay, let's... If he re-signs with the Yankees this year, let's say a 10-year... 13-year deal, he's the face of the Yankees. That's it.
You could have two faces.
You can have two, but...
That's just a two-headed dragon.
You can't say he's not the face of the Yankees. He's 25.
I mean, he's not, but Judge is also the captain.
Correct. Judge is the captain. He's the current face of the Yankees. But if Juan Soto gets paid by the Yankees next year, he's 25. He is our generational player for the next 10 years. He is essentially making him the face of the Yankees.
Correct.
I'm not.
But if you were to ask me, if that scenario happened and said, who is the face of the Yankees? I'm saying Judge before Soto.
That's fair. But
I'm not leaving him out of the conversation. I'm just not saying his name first.
Okay. I can understand that. But let's put it this way. When Jeter was in the prime, when he was, you know, falling off, kind of, you know, tail end of his career, he's still the captain, though. Would have you said he's the face of the Yankees?
I mean, with how much of an impact he had on that team, yes. It's so not, even though his numbers aren't like what they used to, I can guarantee you in that clubhouse, he is the face of the Yankees.
Okay, that's fair.
What year did Jeter retire?
2014.
Who was on the 2014 Yankees?
A bunch of shitheads.
Right, so then, yeah, he's the face of their franchise.
But I'm saying, depends. Like,
did you have a dog in 2014 that was, like, way better than Derek Jeter?
I mean, it's not like Jeter was fucking shitting on everyone in 2014.
No, he was bad. Yeah, but you didn't have the guy. You had no guys. Brett Gardner, no. Jacoby Ellsbury. No.
You had Ichiro, Beltran, Ellsbury, Gardner, Teixeira, McCann.
Okay,
and someone I don't know.
Let's put it in this perspective. Say Soto was on that team, and Jimmy, are you looking up Jeter stats right now?
I can.
Stats? You want
I have.
What was his last decent year? Like
last decent year? Yeah. He came in seventh in 2012 in MVP with the Silver Slugger.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's put it this way. Say Juan Soto's on that team. Same stats, same everything, same age. Who's the face of the Yankees at that time?
You're saying Juan Soto's stats right now are the same?
Yeah, everything's the same. Like, he's had the same career so far. He has the current stats. It's 2012. What happened?
I'm picking Jeter.
You're picking Jeter.
Yeah, because even though Juan Soto is having a great year, Jeter is going to have way more of an impact on the players on that team than Juan Soto.
Okay. No, I mean, I agree with you. I'm just asking a question. I just want to see your thoughts.
Even if you ask that question with Jeter in 2013 or 2014, I'm still picking Jeter.
Now, one more question. I got the brain chemistry going. Say Judge has a bad year. Okay. Soto signs a long-term deal with the Yankees. Who's the face of the Yankees?
We just answered this earlier, both of them, but I'm saying Judge first.
Okay. Well, there can only technically be one face, but...
You guys are going to have a two-headed dragon.
I mean, that doesn't sound bad to me.
And to me, you are going to have a two-headed dragon.
You can't forget Gerrit Cole, though.
Yeah, we're talking the face.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair. All right. Fair. No, not fair. No arguments. No arguments.
Oh, and then backtracking, by the way, I love how you use the AL home run king because you know who the NL home run king is.
Who? Okay. You got it. You got it. You got it, pal. You got it. I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
You already know.
I'll give you that. But let's get into NFL draft. Right? It's two days away. I texted Nick the other day. I was like, yo, you coming over Thursday to watch the NFL draft? He's like, shit, it's here already? I gotta start doing some fantasy research.
I gotta get into manager mode.
Yeah, it's in like 2 days. But yeah, the draft is coming. That means football is on its way back, which is exciting because we all miss football Sunday. We won't admit it because we're in baseball season, but we all miss football Sunday, let's be honest. And the Giants have a good pick this year. And the Dolphins, you know, who knows what the fuck's going to happen with the Dolphins. But, I mean, I think the first pick is solidified. We all know it's going to be Caleb Williams. The next 3-4 picks, I think it could be anybody. I don't think there's anyone set in stone between 2 to 6. Like,
no.
And Commander...
I want to interrupt you because I want to talk about the Giants. The Giants are in an interesting position. I've heard... everyone and anyone linked to them. So who's to know, right? But so you said, I think it's Chicago, then it's Commanders, and then we got someone like, I think it's LA and somebody else at 3-4.
It's the Patriots, the Cardinals, the Chargers, and then the Giants.
So I think somebody's going to want to go into the 4-5 range to trade up to go for like a JJ McCarthy or Michael Penix Jr. or somebody like that. And then the Giants have been linked to JJ McCarthy, right? So like, oh, is he going to fall to 6? And if there's a trade up there, are the Giants going to get somebody like Nabbers, like a wide receiver? I've heard Joe Alt linked to the Giants. I've heard so many names linked to the Giants. It's like, they can't move up. We don't have any assets to move up to be able to draft a quarterback higher than 6. We have to stay pat. So it's like whoever falls to us, it's such an interesting top of the draft. So many quarterbacks are going to go 1 through 6. And I mean, is Marvin Harrison Jr. going to drop to like 6? Is he going to drop down past the top 6? Who knows?
I think the talk of the beginning of that draft is what the Cardinals are going to do because they said they're looking to trade, but they're not saying anything until they're on the clock.
I think the most interesting team here, and I've been hearing a lot about them moving up, is the Vikings. They need to find someone who's going to throw the ball to Justin Jefferson, or else they're going to lose Justin Jefferson. They have the capital to move up, and I see them as the most likely team to move up and take a quarterback. They may jump the Giants and take JJ McCarthy, which would make a lot of sense. It would suck for the Giants, but to me, this QB class is actually very deep. I know a lot of people think Michael Penix is overrated. I think he's a dog. I think I don't know if you guys saw his letter to all the NFL GMs, but that's just dog material. Like, you want that guy in your locker room. So
So I think wherever he goes, he's like, I'm excited for dynasty draft because I feel like a lot of quarterbacks are going to fall. And I think there's going to be some quarterbacks left in the second round in the dynasty draft, which is crazy to think. But there's just so many skill position players that can go above them that in the if you're like the 201, 202, 203, you have a chance at grabbing maybe a tier two or tier three quarterback, and they could even start next year, which is crazy. Like maybe like a Bo Nix, maybe a Michael Penix. JJ McCarthy's probably going to go top of the draft. Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels all going top five. Most likely.
I mean, that's half the first round right there.
If Nick Smart, he takes two quarterbacks. Like if that's if Nick Smart, he has to take two quarterbacks, in my opinion. If Nick wants to have a good team moving forward for the next 5 years, however long this lasts, he needs to take two quarterbacks in the top of the draft. But it's very interesting. Like Bears, we know they're taking Caleb Williams. Like 100% lock that in. Commanders, they're taking a quarterback. We just don't know which one. They need a quarterback. Sam Howell's obviously not there anymore. Patriots, I've heard they're willing to trade the pick. I've heard they want a quarterback, so who knows? The Cardinals, they're supposedly in with Kyler Murray. They're locked in with him. So I'm assuming they go MHJ if he's there.
Going to trade?
I mean, it's possible, but I mean, who knows if they'll get the capital? I'm just kind of breaking down what I think as the Chargers. What do? Do they grab another receiver? Maybe they get Justin Herbert some protection so he can stop getting hurt every year. And then the Giants. Giants are going to be interesting. Do they get neighbors? Does JJ fall to them? Does, you know, like someone, do they get Joe Alt who can be, you know, the next cornerstone of their line because he's that good? Well, he's projected to be that good. Draft picks never, a lot of times don't turn out to be that good. But you know what I'm saying? Like it's so interesting. Like, do the Jets get Brock Bowers? Like, is Brock Bowers going to be a top 10 pick, a tight end? When is the last time that happened?
I think the Jets are a really good topic because they bounced around from going, oh, we're going to get a quarterback to now we're going with Brock Bowers. Now if we might get a receiver.
I think
yesterday they trade Zach Wilson. So like, I feel like they need to try and get a quarterback.
Honestly, they need a quarterback.
I mean, what are you going to do when Aaron Rodgers is done?
How much longer does Rodgers have? Like
he thinks he's going to play till he's 45.
A torn Achilles is no joke. That's one of the tougher injuries to come back from. And it's kind of like tearing your labrum in baseball. That's what it is for a football player. That's how I compare it. That may be a terrible comparison. All you sports doctors can yell at me, but like a torn labrum for a baseball player is terrible to come back from. And a torn Achilles for a football player, I assume is very comparable, but they need a quarterback. They need maybe Bo Nix, groom him. You know, you never know, but it's interesting. It's really interesting. I think this could be one of the most interesting drafts. I think there's going to be a lot of trades. There's going to be a lot of moving parts, and I'm excited for Jimmy because he's kind of in the middle of all this craziness in the sixth pick. And then this helps us with our dynasty draft. Like, say Drake May goes to the Commanders. Like, do you take him? Does he have fantasy value there? Or say the Raiders move up and take Jaden Daniels. Who has more fantasy value? Who would you rather have the ball being thrown to? Davante Adams, Jacoby Myers, and Max Mayer? Or Terry McLaurin, some booty tight end, and Jahan Dotson? Like, it's, you know, it's going to shape the draft. It's going to be awesome. Same with the receivers, like MHJ with Kyler Murray. I think that might be pretty exciting. I mean, Hopkins with Kyler Murray was exciting. And then the Giants, like if Neighbors goes to the Giants, no offense, Jimmy, who's going to be throwing him the ball? You know, it's going to be interesting.
It is interesting. And like you think about like the pairing. So like for me, like maybe percentage wise, I would say I go player 90%. Pairing and what team they're on, like 10%. In all honesty, yeah. Like I think you have to take the best player in the draft that's available. I think you have to. I don't think you can pass on somebody who's obviously better to go for somebody who's a tier down that is in maybe a better situation that we perceive because we don't know. We don't actually know.
Yeah.
Like I mean, they could be a dog. Like who on the Texans was good before CJ Stroud showed up? Did CJ Stroud make Tank Dell? Did he make, you know, Nico Collins into something? You know what I mean? Like, were they dogs before him? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he could be that big of a game changer. And like, I was so down on CJ Stroud, you know, during the last year process. I was like, no way. He's not going to be good. I was like questioning his intellect. Dude's a dog. Dude balls. I was wrong. Shout out to him. But like, yeah, I mean, they can come in and be a game changer.
Shout out to me. GM trade of the year. Let's be honest. Dog.
Stop.
Dog.
I had pretty good trades. You want to talk about a trade resume?
All right, let's rank our trades. Nick, you're going to rank our trades since you're the party that's not involved here. All right. So between...
Whoa, I think I have a trade that's worth talking about.
Which one?
My Josh Allen trade.
Okay. So we'll all rank our own trades and then we'll just end the podcast. All right. Or we'll rank our trades. We'll do dogs of the week and then end it. So we're going to rank my CJ Stroud trade, Jimmy's. You want to do the CD Lamb trade?
I mean, you could do that one. The Lamar Jackson one was a loss. You could do any of like my old wide receiver trades.
Which one would you prefer?
Did you trade for Amon-Ra or did you draft him?
Traded for Amon-Ra.
Which one would you prefer to rank?
Yeah, you're going to have to pick that because I don't remember yours exactly.
You made a lot of moves, so you got to pick one.
I made a lot of moves because I'm a dog. That's why. I'm looking at these trades. Hold on.
Nick, you're going to do your Josh Allen trade, right?
Yes, because right. I think that one's underlooked.
Make sure you have all your details.
Oh, I have it, baby. Don't you worry.
So the listeners know exactly what the compensation was.
Oh, I
got 1A. I got 1A, 1B.
Just give us 1A.
All right, fine.
So, Jimmy, you go first.
All right, so I'll give you 1A. The trade was CeeDee Lamb and a second round pick coming to me for Devontae Smith and Bryce Young and a 2024 third going away. So, Devontae Smith, good wide receiver, not CeeDee Lamb level. Bryce Young, not looking good as his first year in the league. CeeDee Lamb, dog. 25 years old, wide receiver, cornerstone for the team, or the winged dragon of Amon-Ra. Not even the name of him. It's not even CeeDee Lamb's team, but he's that much of a dog.
Okay, so that was your trade, your ranking. My trade, I traded away Joe Burrow and DeAndre Swift for CJ Stroud, Zay Flowers, Tank Bigsby, and a 2025 first. Dog.
It's a haul.
Dog.
My trade was Josh Allen for Tank Dell, Zach Charbonnet, the first round pick number 5, and first round pick number 12.
All right, Jimmy, you do the rankings, your rankings first of this. I know you're going to pick yours first.
No, I'm putting mine third. Nick, what was yours again?
Tank Dell, Zach Charbonnet, the 105 and the 112, and the 112 for Josh Allen.
Yeah, I'm going wag Nick than me. Nick, yours is close because at 105 is revolutionary for you now. Having 3 first round picks instead of, you know, just the 2 is huge. Josh Allen, I don't think you're a Josh Allen away on your team. I think you need a little bit of depth, and I think you need to make a couple trades for running back. So I think you have the assets to do that, and you should.
I think, so I'm not going to lie to you, even though with how good Stroud has been, I'm putting mine slightly above Jonathan's, mainly because making this trade gave me back-to-back early/mid-round picks, a long top with my own early pick. I think if I just have the 103, the 105, and the 112, it's not as good as having the 103, 105, 106, 112. And looking at it now, I mean, Josh Allen's probably always going to be a dog, but going into this year, he doesn't have anybody to throw right now. So I think his value might have went down with Diggs leaving.
So your ranking is...
My ranking is me, slightly over you, and then Jimmy. And don't get me wrong, Jimmy's trade is not terrible at all. It's just in a 2QB league, I have to put the trades with the QBs over the wide receiver.
All right, my ranking. So I'm going to have some facts to back this up, all right? So I'm going to... Nick, what was your compensation again? I'm sorry. It was Charbonnet, Tank Dell, 2 firsts, right?
Yeah, 105 and 112.
Okay. I am going to put my mine first. Not because it's my pick, but I'll explain. CJ Stroud is probably worth 3 first round picks, right? 2 or 3, in my opinion. Zay Flowers is probably worth a first round pick and a second, maybe. Somewhere around there. And I got a 25 first. Tank Bigsby, maybe a third round valuation. Tank Dell is probably worth a first and a second. And Charbonnet, I would give a second round grade on him. As far as your first, this is why I'm not putting it over mine, just because we don't know who you're picking there and what they're going to be. If we knew what players they were and maybe they were dogs, I would probably rank it over me. But it depends on who you pick. Like, you could pick the 105 and their ass, and that's why I can't pick you over it. So, but you got great value. So it's going to be me, Nick, Jimmy. Jimmy, let's not discount Jimmy, okay? Because Jimmy may...
I don't have the flashy trade. I have the collection of moves that set me up for success.
Jimmy's made some very good moves. Probably his highlight move, and this isn't even a trade, it was a waiver wire pickup of Trey McBride, who went from being a third round grade to a first round valuation. Okay. That's the dog of this whole thing.
You can't forget about your pickup with
Kyren Williams. Very true. I did pick up Kyren Williams. I think those are probably the two best pickups in this league.
Can I just shout out another trade that I made, since I only made like 2 or 3?
Sure.
I also think that I really won the Saquon trade for the 106 and Antonio Gibson.
That's to be determined for me.
Like, I mean, it's the same way with you saying, depending on who I pick and how they do.
Yeah.
But I mean, for Saquon being my second overall pick in that draft, I think he was second or third. He really didn't do much. And I think getting a nice mid first round pick for him, plus, you know, just a filler, was, I would think it was a pretty smart idea on me.
Yeah. For, like I said, with draft picks, it's all to be determined for me.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But to have them, I mean, imagine if I had still had Saquon with the team I have.
Yeah, you'd be.
I would be in a worse position.
In some trouble next year.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, with all the trades that we have made, I would say we, our teams going into the future years, are looking at like a top 5 of each of us.
For sure. But let's get our dogs of the week and peace out, because we got a long episode going here.
Our dogs of the week, huh?
I got a dog. Friday games, April 26th. My dog of the week, who is a huge dog right now, the Los Angeles Dodgers over the Toronto Blue Jays. How are they dogs? I don't know, but I like them.
Going with the former Met, Chris Bassitt, huh?
No, I'm going with the Dodgers. Dodgers are the dogs.
Oh, damn, how?
I don't know either.
I mean, I know they're not playing great baseball, but damn. Let's see. Dogs of the week. What is it?
Oh,
under 45%, right?
I got my dog. The New York Yankees against Colin Ray and the Brewers. There's somehow dogs in that game.
Hey, man. I'm going to go with my main man, Michaelis, having a shit year, shoving against the Mets. And I'm going with the Cardinals.
Nice. I like
it. Start the series with a dub.
I like it. But listen, guys, those are our dogs of the week. As always, we're not professionals. But if you're trying to hit a lick, just try it out. Why not? We appreciate y'all for listening. We'll catch you next week. No more breaks for now. We love y'all. And peace out. That's all I got for tonight.